Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Amos chapter number 7. Amos chapter 7. Someone mentioned to me, I think it was maybe yesterday at the men's breakfast. By the way, it was great to have the men's breakfast, but we did have to crank up the fire as soon as we arrived. And we've understood over the course of the last several uses of the pavilion, which of course we enjoy and love, but the fireplace is at the end that is always in the shade. And we always gather around the fireplace, so we stay in the shade, and then we realize the sun's coming up on this end. We should have been sitting down on this end, because then we'd have 10 degrees more in comfort. So we either stayed by the fireplace, or we stayed down on the end with the sunshine. So all the food was with the sunshine, and the rest of us sat down by the fireplace. When the speaker got up to speak right there in front of the fireplace, I told him, I said, you can go until the fire stops. And we tried to add extra wood there so he'd go quite a while. But we had a great time yesterday. It was a sweet time of fellowship and sweet time of prayer. And that's one of the blessings to be able to gather as brothers in Christ and to be able to share prayer requests and everything like that. And so glad to be able to get that back and going, albeit it was a little bit chilly when we first started. I think it was probably in the high 20s, so it was a little bit chilly, but we had a great time. It was not the chili cook-off, but it was chilly, right? Amos chapter 7 tonight, I was speaking at the men's breakfast with several of the men about how much overlap there is here in the book of Amos with what we see in our current society. And keep in mind that there's nothing new under the sun. So there's nothing that you and I face in the world today that hasn't occurred before, that we haven't seen these kinds of situations before. And in the message tonight, we're going to see opposition from a false prophet. Opposition from a false prophet. So we know that Amos is the prophet of God. Amos is standing as the mouthpiece of Almighty God. He's telling people the truth. He's telling the northern kingdom the truth about the pending judgment that God is going to use Assyria as an arm of judgment against the wickedness of the northern kingdom. And you'll recall, if you were here last Sunday night, the Bible gives us a number of visions. There's actually going to be five of them. We looked at three of them last Sunday night, including the matter of the grasshoppers that would devour, the fire that would devour, and then the plumb line. And whenever God measured something, it indicated pending judgment. And so in the midst of that, that revealing of the visions, we find an encounter with a false prophet. And so I want you to read this passage with me. It kind of interrupts the storyline of the visions, but I believe that there's a lot of overlap from what is said here between the false prophet and the true prophet. The false prophet and the true prophet. Would you read with me here in Amos chapter 7? And we begin reading in verse number 10. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Again, would you recall that Bethel was set up as a location for worship, but it was not the true worship of Jehovah. So they had departed in worshiping Jehovah. And remember that Ahab had not only set up groves to Baal and set up groves to false gods, but he had encouraged others to be involved in false worship. And now this is carried on in the nation of Israel, now under the leadership of Jeroboam the second. Jeroboam the second. So this is the prophet, if you would, the false prophet of false gods. And he steps up upon hearing these words from Amos that were given there in the opening of the chapter. And the Bible says, the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, so he's going to send a message to the king and he's going to say, hey, this is a real problem in our land. We've got this guy that's talking. He's really giving us a difficult time, okay? You might plug in a couple of additional thoughts, and I'll just give this to you as a parenthetical. If this were modern day time, this would be the false prophet sending the note to the president and saying, hey, we got a problem with this guy that's out there preaching. He doesn't believe in evolution. He's preaching this business of God created the heavens and the earth, and we've got to do something about it. This is the preacher that doesn't believe in man-made climate change, if you would. We've got to do something about it. Hey, this preacher right here, this preacher believes that there's only two sexes, male and female, two genders. Hey, we've got to do something about this guy. I mean, literally, you could put that into the text. So Amos has been preaching the truth from Jehovah. Amaziah, the priest of the false gods or the prophet of the false gods, he steps up and sends a letter to the king and says, we got to do something about this guy. Look at what he says. Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all of his words. We can't take it anymore. I've had enough. Boy, I can see how this is ripped from the headlines. All right? I got to get through these verses. Let's read them. For thus saith Amos. So now the false prophet is going to tell us what the true prophet said. Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Well, thankfully, the prophet of God was politically correct. He responded in such a gentle and loving way. When the false prophet had stepped up and said all this, and here's the technical Greek word, gobbledygook. All right? There's your technical terminology from the New Testament. Thank you for everything you've just said, false prophet. Now let me tell you the truth, okay? So tonight we want to look at this opposition from the false prophet. And I tell you, if it's not true at this very moment, folks, it's coming down the pike. And I hope you'll see that tonight. Amos is telling people the truth. But boy, I tell you, false prophets are furious. And so let's see what the Word of God says here from the passage. In the midst of the preaching, we find a personal story. And Amos gives this account of a personal interaction with the false prophet. You might write in your notes that this is the contrast between the prophet of God and the prophet of prophet. Did you get that? So Amos is the prophet of God, and he's going up against the prophet of prophet. What do I need to say to be in the good graces of the king? What do I need to say to have the reward and the love of the king, no matter how wicked he might be? Well, I tell you what, it's not hard to find this kind of preacher in the world today. Someone that's merely out for profit, and they don't tell people the truth. The prophet of God against the prophet of profit. He's plotting to silence the preacher. He says, listen, I've got to do everything I can to silence this one. And by the way, isn't this exactly like the individual that was there in the synagogue as we consider the story of Christ this morning in that event with that lady that needed to be healed? So there's nothing new under the sun. These prophets existed in the Old Testament. They existed in the New Testament. And these kinds of religious leaders exist today. They abound. And so this prophet of false gods is going to oppose the preaching and teaching of Jehovah's prophet. In other words, this is the kind of guy that would come forward after a preacher of the gospel stands up and says, ye must be born again. Jesus is coming again soon. This is the kind of prophet that would step up and say, folks, there's plenty of time. There's no need to hurry. There's no need to worry. You can do all you can and you'll be okay. After all roads lead to heaven. He says potato, I say potato, but in the end we'll all wind up in a wonderful place. Just do your own thing. He's got to stop the individual from proclaiming and preaching the truth. After all, it would ruin his profit. You see, if people listen to the truth and they begin to repent, it would ruin all that this man had done and said leading up to this time, and people would have obviously come to the light, and they'd be very disappointed then that this guy had been lying to them all this time. Well, let's look at Amaziah. And would you look at these opening three or four verses? Amaziah, number one, rebukes Amos. So the false prophet rebukes the prophet of Almighty God. Look there with me, if you would, at verses 10 through 13. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, this is Jeroboam the second, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Amaziah could not debate the message. And so he goes after the messenger. Does that sound at all familiar? They cannot debate the message, and so they attack the messenger. Amos had the word of God. Amos was telling the truth. Amaziah knew full well he was a charlatan. But he's got to make the king think that everything's okay because, after all, he, as the grand poopah, there's another great Greek word, as the grand poopah of the area, he says, hey, king, don't worry about it. I'm the religious leader of the day and you're just fine. So Amaziah rebukes Amos. Number one, Amaziah lies about his content. Amaziah lies about his content. Look at verses 10 and 11. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive in their own land. Now, did you see what he said there? Again, he's trying to quote what Amos says. So it's best for us to go back and to look at what he actually said. I don't know how many times in the last 4 years, If I could use an issue that's probably on the tip of everyone's mind and or thought process in this. Do you remember, I think it was about four and a half years ago, that there was a big hullabaloo down in Charlottesville. Boy, I'm using a lot of great words tonight. Hullabaloo, there's a great one too, all right? Pretty soon parents are going to start covering their children's ears. I don't want them to hear those kinds of words, hullabaloo. All right. There was an issue down in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the media picked up a phrase from the president at that time, and he used the wording, very fine people. Have you heard about this? Anybody? Anybody? All right. He used the wording, very fine people. They took those words totally out of context and tried to say that he was praising white supremacists and neo-Nazis and all of this kind of crowd. So over and over and over and over and over and over and over again for about 4 years, we've heard people use, well, the President of the United States said that all these people were very fine people. The President of the United States said that all these people were very fine people. The President of the United States said all these people were very fine. Well, other people were just going back and they were listening to the entirety of the speech, and it was obvious that's not what he said. So in truth, that line or that way of thinking should have been debunked in no time at all, and they should have stopped using it totally because the context was available and the wording was clearly given, and you can go back to the records and see exactly what was said. And yet even to this day, there are those that believe the very fine people hoax. Well, that is just like what is happening here. Amaziah quotes Amos. Ah, but we have the chance to see what Amos actually said. So let's do some comparison. Will you follow it with me? The true prophet said this. Verse number 9, Amos chapter 7. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Now let me ask you this question. Who is the I in the passage? Well, it's the very fine people. The I in the passage is not Amos. The I in the passage is Almighty God using as an arm of judgment the Assyrian armies that were going to come in and overwhelm the northern kingdom. Amos wasn't saying, I will arise against the house of Jeroboam. Almighty God had declared it. And by the way, look back at verse number 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. This is exactly what God said he was going to do. So look at verse 9. This is what he actually said. Now look at what Amos said according to Amaziah. He sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all of his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. Is that what he said? No. It's not at all what he said. The Bible says, Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. The truth of the matter is that Amos actually said that the sword would be raised against the house of Jeroboam. His kingdom would not stand. And in fact, he said that Israel would go into captivity as a result of their sin, but there was still time to repent. Do you remember several chapters ago, in chapter 4, we reference that phrase, prepare to meet thy God. And we understand that national judgment was coming, but right on the heels of the statement, prepare to meet thy God, do you remember what the challenge was for individuals? As a nation, understand this. God himself has declared that he's going to meet you on the military battle, on the military battlefield, and he is going to overwhelm the nation. But he says, for all individuals that are willing, there's still time to repent. Seek the Lord and seek good, Amos chapter 5. But the false prophet is very selective on the content that he will use as it references the nature of the truth of what he actually said. Boy, this is happening again and again and again and again. I don't even know what to say. We have grown adults in the leadership of our country who are seriously debating genders. We have people in political office who were asked, how many genders are there? And they couldn't answer the question. From the earliest days of my life, Mom and Dad taught me, this is a boy. This is a girl. God made boys and God made girls. Well, I tell you what, false prophets today don't want to hear any of that, do they? Oh, it troubles me that this is in secular society and that we have politicians that don't know how many genders there really are. It troubles me that it's that way. But listen to me, folks. This is in pop Christianity, too. There are churches that are literally buying into all of this social justice stuff. And there are churches that are more concerned about spreading the social gospel than they are about spreading the saving gospel. Amaziah is a false preacher. And he wants to endear himself to the king, and so he lies about the content of Amos's message. Number two, he not only lies about his content, but he lies about his calling. Would you look at verse number 12? Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, that's a term of mocking. He says, flee thee away into the land of Judah. Get off to the southern kingdom. Get down there to the land of Bethlehem and get down there to the land of Jerusalem. And there eat bread and prophesy there. Hey, we don't need your kind of preaching up in this area. Listen, my friend, that's the very area that needed the preaching the most. He lied about his content. Number two, he lies about his calling. Here's how the lie went. Who gave you your degree? Who told you that you were actually a preacher? Who ordained you to go into the ministry? He actually says about Amos what was true about him. He says, listen, you're only in this for the money. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know how many times I've seen this in recent days, where the statements are made about others that wasn't actually true about them, but it was true about the person making the statement. Again, I go back to the phrase. I spoke on this topic at the couple's retreat, and it's baffling to me how Ahab could meet up with Elijah, and Ahab could look Elijah in the eyes and say, are you the one troubling Israel? By the way, we're not far from that happening, folks, here in the United States and right there in your neighborhood. If you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and you do what is right and live out your Christian faith, no doubt someone's going to come along and say, man, you're the one that's troubling this nation. He lied about his content. Number two, he lies about his calling. Who do you think you are to go out and preach this way? Why don't you go back to the land of Judah and prophesy there? And then number three, he lies about his character. Verse number 13. Prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. You know, you're just a country boy and you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't have all the degrees and all of the diplomas from the higher levels of religious education. You're not very reverent. You haven't used enough Hebrew and Greek in your message. You haven't given the king, Jeroboam II, enough of his due because he's the king in the northern kingdom. You're not very dignified. You're not very diplomatic. You've not even chosen the diplomatic method. One commentator said this. Would you listen to this and tell me again it's not ripped from the headlines? Here we go. He did not belong to the current order of the prophets, nor had he been educated in the schools of the prophets, nor did he have any human training. Oh, where's your degrees? Where's your diplomas? Who gave you this right? Time and again, folks, the false prophets will lie about the truth that is delivered by the man of God. Well, I tell you what, at different times in the Scriptures, it's unbelievable as to what you and I read that the men of God actually did. Elijah stood against Ahab and Jezebel. Nathan went into the throne room of David and said, "Thou art the man." Jeremiah preached and had zero converts in the entirety of his ministry. Well, I tell you what, the prophets of God said, "We're going to tell you what God says, let come what may." You know, my friend, we're in desperate need of this kind of preaching in the pulpit in America today, where the preaching is not swayed by the populace, where the preaching is not swayed by the pop culture, where the preaching is not swayed because, oh no, we might lose this or that, but they just tell the truth about what God has said. Amaziah is furious with Amos, and he lies about his content. He lies about his calling. He lies about his character. And so number two, very simply tonight, we see that Amos refutes Amaziah. Look at verses 14 to 17. Amaziah goes on the attack against Amos, and he tries to rebuke Amos. But Amos is going to refute this. He's going to stand up for the truth. Look at verses 14 to 17. "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, 'I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. Thy land shall be divided by line. Thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land.'" The first thing we find here in verses 14 and 15 is Amos refutes Amaziah is that Amos declares his calling directly by God. Now this is a tremendous statement. Amaziah says, "You don't have any degrees, you don't have any diplomas, you don't have all the charts on your wall, you don't have all the books in your office. Who do you think you are to make all these statements?" And the response from Amos is this: "You want to know about my diploma? You know about my degree? You want to know about all my ministry experience? Here it is. God called me." There's a lot of people that have a lot of diplomas and a lot of degrees, but God hadn't called them. Well, they got a lot of letters after their name, but God hasn't called them. Amos just chimes in and says, "You're right. I'm not from the fancy religious schools. I was out herding sheep. But Jehovah called me, and I will do exactly what Jehovah has said to do." Well, I tell you what, I'm not sure that there's any greater prayer that a church congregation could pray for their pastor than to just simply bow the knee and say, "Lord, help my pastor to do exactly what you would have him to do. Help him to say exactly what you'd have him to say. Help him to be exactly where you'd have him to be. Help him to do exactly what you'd have him to do." Well, I don't know if there's a better prayer. "Oh, pastor, we're praying that your needs are met. Oh, we're praying for your family. Oh, we're praying for this or that. But I tell you what, I covet your prayers that I'll just do and say exactly what God would have me to say and do. Say, Pastor, do you have all the degrees and all the fancy diplomas? I don't. I would love to get my doctorate, but I'm praying that I can do it somewhere, you know, in some Southeast Asian country where they have me there to speak for a Bible college graduation and they confer upon me an honorary doctorate. That'd be all right with me. That'd be fun. Say, why didn't you continue all your degrees? I spent 12 years here in the academy. I spent 4 years in Bible college. By then, I was just ready to get out. Say, if you could do it over again, would you go back and do 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 more years? Doubt it. I'm thankful for higher education. Don't misunderstand. I'm thankful for these young people. I'm thankful for someone like Tim Berry, who put his nose to the plow, and he went with not only his bachelor's degree, but continued on for his master's, and then his master's of divinity, and then his doctorate, and he said, I'm going to be done with the whole kit and caboodle. And boy, I'm glad for that. I'm glad for those individuals that have gone on and done that. That's fantastic. But even more than degrees and even more than diplomas is knowing for sure that God has called you. And my friend, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. This is just a shepherd boy. Just an individual that was leading a bunch of sheep. And yet God said, I want you to go and deliver a message. And he said yes. Boy, what a refutation to what Amaziah had declared. Amaziah had lied about his content, lied about his character. He had lied about his calling. And Amos just steps up and says, look, I'm called by God. I don't care what you say. Then number two, he not only declares his calling by God, but number two, he declares the condemnation from God. Now, this is serious business, verses 16 and 17. Amaziah attacked Amos based upon his clear hatred for the truth that was coming upon the northern kingdom and the nature of their sin against Almighty God. So Amaziah is furious. But I want you to see the significance of Amos' response. He first of all says, look, I'm just called by God. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just called by God. I'm going to say exactly what God wants me to say. But whoa on what God had him say to Amaziah now. Look at the judgment that God specifically cast towards Amaziah, this false prophet. Would you look at verse 16 and 17? Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. So you're telling me to shut up. You're telling me to stop preaching. But look at verse 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. This is not the word of Amos. This is the word of Almighty God. Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city. Thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. Thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And this is just to round out the conversation, because this is what it all started with. Amaziah is furious that there be any statements against the northern kingdom, but Amos is telling the truth, and he says, Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Amaziah, you're first going to lose your family. His wife would be an harlot in the city. Now, for all the husbands that are gathered here in the auditorium, that's a pretty significant statement. That something so horrific could happen to our spouses. And again, Amos didn't say this. God said it. See, here's the pronouncement of judgment against your family. Your wife will be a harlot in the city. And then he says, secondly, your sons and your daughters, your children, will fall by the sword. Amaziah, while you're trying to proclaim peace and safety and that everybody in the kingdom is okay, I'm telling you, you're not okay. And this is what's going to befall your family. But then he moves from what's going to befall his family to what's going to befall his fortune. What happens to all of his stuff? Verse 17. Thy land shall be divided by line. All the stuff that you've accumulated will now be dispersed and overrun. You'll have nothing to show for how you've invested yourself and how you've created this vast amount of wealth. You've done it as a charlatan, and in a blink of an eye, it's all going to be taken. And then he says, number three, and here's your fate. Verse 17, thou shalt die in a polluted land. The Assyrians were a brutal nation. And they were going to come in and overwhelm the northern kingdom of Israel. And the brutality that had earmarked the nature of their domination of other nations, it was going to run roughshod through the northern kingdom, and it was going to pollute the land. And oh, by the way, Amaziah, you're going to die personally in the midst of this polluted land. Does that verse sound at all politically correct? O king, live forever. We wish you the best. Amos makes no such statement to this false prophet. He said, look, your family is going to be brutalized. All this wealth that you've accrued is going to be divided. And oh, by the way, you yourself are going to die in a polluted land. Can I say this to you tonight as he declares the condemnation from Almighty God? He had declared his calling from God, and now he declares the condemnation from God. Can I say this to you tonight? Beware of mocking the messenger of God. Can I say this to the world that might hear this message on down the way via some electronic outlet? Boy, beware of mocking the messenger of Almighty God. 1 Kings chapter 13, I won't take time to read all of this, but if you have notes, write this down, 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through 6. You have the story of an individual who stood and mocked the messenger of God. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, you have an individual who stood up. You have several individuals that stood up and mocked the prophet of God. And that's the story where they mocked Elisha and they said, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Don't ever mock the messenger of God, but especially don't mock him if he's lost all of his hair in ministry. The Bible says the bears came out of the woods and devoured 42 children. Yikes. That wasn't a successful youth activity. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 to 20 is another story where an individual goes up and mocks the messenger of God. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 14 to 16, another story where individuals mock the messenger of God. In this passage tonight, we have both sides. We have a false prophet, a prophet of prophet, who's willing to tell the king anything, whether it's true or not. He's willing to twist the words of the truth. He's willing to twist the message of the true prophet. He lies about everything that's related to Amos and tells the king, hey, we're going to be okay. Do you know right now that there are individuals who are shouting from the rooftops in the ears of our national leadership saying, go for it, deny the Bible, chase after all the things in secular society, and we'll be okay. And there are those that are trying to say, it won't be okay. And they're the ones that are right now hated because they're telling people the truth. Now, folks, preachers of the gospel are going to fall into one of these two categories tonight. And as I mentioned in the outset, I believe that the passage could be ripped from the headlines. You have a few preachers of the truth who are proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, and you have an overwhelming abundance of individuals that are charlatans, that are standing upon their degrees and upon their diplomas and saying that we're the educated bunch, we're the sophisticated bunch, we're the ones that have the answers, we're speaking on behalf of God, and they wouldn't know God if He came in their midst. Well, I tell you what, I want to be in the second group. And I might not have all of the degrees and diplomas and all that's there to offer, but I pray to God that it'll always demonstrate through my life and my preaching that, hey, that man's called by God. And he's telling us the truth. It is always my prayer that when individuals leave the ministry and preaching of the truth here at FBT, that if there's something that's not right, that everyone will go out not mad at the preacher, but that they'll go out with a willingness to say, I've got to make things right with Almighty God. Because that preacher loves me and told me the truth tonight. You see, in one of these illustrations, we have a charlatan. And while the cancer of sin was destroying the northern kingdom, he's telling the king and all the people, hey, you're okay. Amos, called out of the shepherd field, comes and delivers, thus saith the Lord. And though he's mocked, he still takes his stand with Jehovah. And boy, how God ushers in the nature of judgment against this false messenger. And by the way, if you think that's stern, read through the Gospels and see how Jesus Christ responded to the Pharisees and the false prophets in the day in which he ministered. He called them all a bunch of serpents and vipers and whited sepulchers. Say, Pastor, I think we just need to be kinder and gentler. I don't see that in any way, shape, or form in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was calling out false prophets that were blind people leading the blind. And I don't know what the days ahead hold, but I do pray this. I pray that the pulpit of FBT will always stand for the truth, and that let come what may, we will tell people exactly what God has said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for this very real illustration in this interaction between Amaziah and Amos. And I'm so thankful for the testimony of Amos. And boy, I'm amazed at how Amaziah was such a liar and was so wrapped up in what he would receive by way of stuff if he endeared himself to the king and to the people of the northern kingdom. He did so much to lie about the man of God. And yet the man of God took his stand for righteousness. He said, I'm not here to please men. I'm here to simply tell men what God has said. May we here at FBT be faithful at proclaiming exactly what God has said. Lord, I fully acknowledge that may not put us in good standing with the pop culture and with society. And as it seems, the political motivations of the day as it leads us closer to this sexual orientation and gender identity that's already passed here in the state of Virginia but could very well pass in the Senate. Dear Lord, would you help us that even if these kinds of things pass through the votes of men, that we would still be in right standing with our God, and that we'd proclaim the truth. I do pray for our Senate right now. I pray that you would help them to see the great damage that would be done to the freedoms in America if this SOGI law passes, this Equality Act. Lord, I pray that men and women in the Senate would stand up for religious liberty and that you would protect us from this terrible legislation. But Lord, no matter what happens, I pray that we continue to preach the truth. May we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Thank you for the examples of these Old Testament prophets. Thank you for the example of John the Baptist, who wasn't afraid to go in and tell the king that he was not right. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have that kind of character and to fulfill that kind of calling from on high. Would you bless and use the people of FBT in every arena in which you've called them? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be salt and light in this day in which we find ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.